Let's look at some tips for succession planning so that you can build or refine your current approach. First of all, establish the opportunity. Make sure it's well known that you have a set tenure and there will be an opportunity for people to step into your role in the future. Be transparent about what exactly you do, what the role description entails, who you work with, how often, and establish whether there are any myths about the role that you realised were not the case once you started. Who is the role going to be open to? What paths can people take towards it if they are interested? Do they need to have experience in the core network team first, or are there open interviews or elections? Allow for phased development. This means having a long lead-in time before you make decisions about who will take leadership positions, because you want to encourage candidates to develop the skills they may currently be lacking. What types of skills do you typically need for the role, and how can you make sure the support is there to develop them? Imagine this role was elsewhere in the company, a management position for example. If there were no training programs to encourage internal promotions, you would only ever be looking from outside the organization, or people who already had the opportunity for leadership development, and that would be discouraging. How can you show commitment to making employee network involvement about career progression? Reappraise the roles as you go along. While you don't want to refresh the network's identity and brand every time you have a change of leadership, you may find that there is a gradual shift in the skills needed to deliver on your strategy. You may be moving from a single chair to a co-chair, or you may redefine the time commitment needed in accordance with greater D&I stakeholder buy-in. Mentoring is one of the best ways to develop skills and learn from different perspectives. You may already have a program in place for leadership development within the organization, so think about how you can use, adapt, and improve upon that to offer your mentorship as a network leader, demonstrating best practice for inclusion within that. For example, many mentoring partnerships are based on a familiarity of some kind, whether that's personality, characteristic, or skills. So think about how you can challenge that assumption and look for future leaders that challenge you. Getting stakeholder buy-in will be important to anticipate any rejection of future leaders or antagonism towards your process. In particular, consider the D&I leads you interact with to make sure that your process aligns with their expectations and the practices of other networks. You will also want to have conversations with your network leadership team or committee, especially if you have opened up opportunities to the broader network or allies. Make sure to listen to any feedback and fears and communicate what you're going to do about them. What motivated you as a leader may not be the same for future leaders. So take time to understand whether there are any trends you need to take into account when reappraising the role. In many ways, leading a network is its own reward, but you also have every right to expect satisfaction in terms of executive recognition, time in your day to run the network, line manager appraisals, or even monetary reward. Can you develop this to be even more motivating and rewarding for your successor? It's a nice parting gift.